na 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 na.
All right, here we go on a Wednesday. It's Cody and Gold. We are in studio today as a little day baseball taking place out at Kauffman Stadium. We're right back at camp on Friday as the Chiefs are off tomorrow. But so a nice little reprieve from the 100-degree weather or so.
Oh,
it feels good in here, you know?
It feels
good in here. So we will obviously be back in St. Joe. Hope to see you guys on Friday. Vern takes over at noon today, his on-deck show, as the Royals continue their series against the Atlanta Braves. Bullpen day, Angel Serpa gets the start.
We'll talk about who didn't practice today and why we don't think it's a big deal here for just a couple of minutes. But first, there was just a white powder.
Okay.
In the desk area in front of me, I would say that it was somewhat line-shaped. All I'm asking
in the
is,
studio?
Yes. I brushed it away. I'm just asking what was the mysterious white powder.
Where's Dusty?
It was on Bob's side, in fairness.
I figured it was Dusty.
I'm just asking what this mysterious white powder was.
Did you take a sniff?
Protein shake. I did not. I don't just, believe it or not, I don't just sniff mysterious white powders and then just see what you get. I don't want to find
what
do
you,
out.
What did you think it was?
I don't know. Maybe a protein powder. Hard to say. I'm just letting you know there was white powder in a line shape in front of my area before I got here today. And I was just asking what it was. That's all. Just trying to figure
it was weird.
It out.
Cody was pulling out his credit card right after, too. He was trying to get it lined up even more. It was really weird.
Just trying to see.
I don't know why you're doing that.
It's a mystery.
It's bizarre.
At least on this end. Let's talk about the players who are missing for just a minute, because I'm just here to quell any real fear at the moment. No Xavier Worthy, no Hollywood Brown, and no Jawan Taylor practice today. Yesterday, when two of those guys left early, no Sky Moore, but whatever. So a couple of those guys, when they left yesterday, you and I warned from the beginning that because today was what they call a 10-10-10 practice, which is essentially a glorified stretch, and tomorrow was an off day, anybody who was feeling dinged up after three straight days of padded practice in 100-degree heat was going to get the day off. That's what I think this is. If they're going on Friday, we can revisit those conversations. But as of panicking today, Gold, just don't waste your time today. Save that energy for Friday in case they're not back in practice.
Right. I think Friday's when you definitely would say, okay, maybe it's a little bit more. Nobody should be concerned about any injury report today, based off of what you just described and the stretch that they're in at camp and based on the temps yesterday. The fact today is a shell practice and everything like that. And then tomorrow's an off day. If all of a sudden it's Friday and we find out that, you know, whether it's Sky Moore or Hollywood Brown, I think is obviously the name that everybody's most kind of focused in on, given his role on this team heading into 2025, that's when we can have more of a convo. But nobody's going to be all that worried about that status today, and I think practice will probably wrap up by 10:45 today, and we may hear from a couple people over in St. Joe anyway after practice. Andy spoke yesterday. We'll hear from him, but we'll let you know if there's anybody of note that speaks after practice. We'll bring some of that live to you here on 96.5 The Fan. Of course, when we are in St. Joe, our training camp coverage is brought to you by Break Time, Missouri's homegrown convenience stores. Download their mobile app and find a location near you.
I'm just looking at the text line's got a lot of different theories on it. But one just said, stop snitching. This show's been pro-snitch really from the beginning, haven't we? The second we entered the snitch line into the occasion, Gold, we've technically signed up for snitching, at least on this show. Let's get into the Royals a little bit. They have a day game today. The offense is performing what can only be described as significantly better over the last couple of weeks. Specifically, and I think this was put out by David Leskey, 64 runs in their last 11 games, 113 runs in their last 23 games, which is good for 4.9 runs per game. That, if you did that over the course of a season, would make you the fourth best offense in baseball. So, like, just to give you some perspective on, well, is 4.9 runs per game good, and where would that rank? It would make you one of the best offenses in baseball, as it sits. Simply put, and I know that this is overstating, and I'm not predicting this to be the case, if the offense plays like this the rest of the way and they've just found it, well, then they're going to the playoffs. Like, I genuinely think they're going to the playoffs if they maintain this level of offense the rest of the way. Do I think they can maintain this level of offense? I don't know, man. That feels like a stretch based on the previous 100 games I watched, and they're going to have to maintain that level of offense at least if they're going to have the pitching trouble because of the injury stuff. J.J. Piccolo yesterday said late August for him to start pitching. And I don't know if he meant pitching as in like starting for this team or just like physically throwing a baseball. So like they're just behind the eight ball in the starting stuff. But if they hit like this, I think they'll go to the playoffs. I just don't know that you can count on that goal. This could just be a hot stretch.
Yeah, it's promising. It's really promising to see. It's what they were missing. I think there was a couple hits in particular the last week or so they just weren't getting in the first half of the season. Last night, Kyle Isbell gets a 3-run double. That's in that spot in the sixth inning. At the time, it was a massive, massive hit, massive moment for them, and those were the moments they just weren't getting earlier on in the season. You know, a couple nights ago, or afternoon, I guess it would have been, you know, Jonathan India's walk-off hit. That was something that you just weren't getting a couple months ago and weeks ago consistently. So in the last few weeks, they're starting to get those hits. It's promising. I'm not going to sit here and suddenly believe that everything is fixed and this team is now going to make the postseason. I'm going to change the view on where things are trending. But if they can, for another week, show that, let's say it's not 4.9 runs per game, because that'd be the fourth best offense in baseball, by the way, as you pointed out during the stretch that they're on. But if you told me they suddenly are average offense and the pitching doesn't fall off a cliff, and you know, that's my biggest concern now based off of just the injuries that have really got them.
Yeah.
You know, they got Seth Lugo still. He pitched last night. They still have Noah Cameron, who's been awesome for them out of nowhere. They still have Michael Wacha, but Cole Reagans, as even J.J. Piccolo mentioned, like hopefully by the end of August, but that's a month from now that they have to figure out. Rich Hill, we'll talk about him. He got DFA'd, so you're hopefully getting Michael Lorenzen back. Are you trading for someone outside the organization? When does the pitching become an issue for you on top of it? I would argue it kind of is in terms of depth. So, yeah, it's a good sign. The reason why they're going to still be in it and in the mix is going to be because maybe the offense has figured some things out.
Yeah, I do think that they figured some things out. This has been the thing, my stance this year on this team, which is I don't think this is fundamentally a way worse team than last year's team. I think they're actually on par. I think it's equally as good as last year's team. They are not performing equally as well. You and I were having a conversation in the bullpen before where you had said, and I think we've agreed on this in baseball, there's not a fundamental difference really between like an 80-win ball club and like an 88-win team. It's just who played better. Talent-wise, there's not some chasm between these two teams, 80 and 88 wins. It's just, did you perform when your moment came? And for the first 90 to 100 games, the offense did not. It didn't show up at all for a huge chunk of the season. Because last year, as much as you can be like, Renfroe and MJ were hitting for this team last year, and they weren't hitting well. Maybe slightly better than they were this year when, I don't know, MJ for a while had the batting average of around 100 or whatever, a little slightly below. So like but the talent is not fundamentally different. It's just they have not performed to that expectation. Over the last 23 games, they're much closer to performing to that expectation, actually slightly above what I would expect out of them. But now I'm asking them what? To maintain that for another 50 consecutive games and not lose any ground in the pitching? That's tough. Other than the fact the bullpen might have gotten better with Hunter Harvey all of a sudden pitching for this team again. He looked okay last night.
Yeah, he was supposed to be a big piece to the bullpen. We all know since they've acquired him last summer, unfortunately, the injuries have really limited his availability for the Royals organization. And this is his last year, you know, under team control. So whatever he provides, hopefully down the stretch, ends up being what you were hoping you were going to get when you acquire him as well. And I think the next couple weeks will be very telling, as we've been saying a lot. But, you know, the Braves series wraps up, and then you get a Blue Jays team who's one of the best teams in all of baseball. You go to Toronto, I believe, this weekend. And then you start to look down the stretch. There's the White Sox, I believe the Twins on the horizon as well. So there's some ease in the scheduling at some point. But right now, when they've been playing NL teams, they've actually fared better. Can they take on a Blue Jays team and avoid the disastrous weekend and try to keep the momentum going?
Honestly, because
the
Blue Jays are one of the few series I'd say I'd take one out of three of.
Here's the thing. I agree, but I don't know if they're in a position where that's... I'm not saying they need to win every single series the rest of the season to get to the playoffs. So maybe you're right, but they're in a spot where like to continue to show some life and put themselves in a position where the math actually math works late in the year. I feel like, yeah, you got to avoid the sweep in Toronto this weekend. And frankly, you need to find a way. Can you steal one with a bullpen game today?
They're a little bit back to, because Angel Zerpa is starting today. They're back to the day game lineup. before they get out of town, because this is the last game of a homestand. Fermin, Frazier, Tolbert, and Isbell is 6, 7, 8, and 9 today. So, and again, the other day when it was Tolbert in the lineup, and I was like, what the hell? And I said, this team's either scoring
Tolbert's
0.
Tolbert's in the lineup. You know what?
It's 8 to 10.
Tolbert's in the lineup. Maybe today's the day where we put a few bucks on the inside the park home run.
What can we get inside the park home run?
50-1.
50-1? Okay, so who are the guys we think are capable of getting in inside the park?
Well, Bobby.
Garcia?
Bobby.
Bob Garcia, if you hit it just right.
Bobby.
Bobby for sure.
Tolbert
for sure.
That's in the list. That's it. That's it.
The other one would probably require an error. Maybe Isbell. He's a good base runner.
I mean,
Perez isn't getting around four bags.
And Vinny's not either. So.
Man, I wanted Vinny to get the triple so bad last night. Because the not the funniest, but like just the idea that they waited 40 years to get another cycle, and then it's Vinny, and he's got to get the triple to close it out. It just feels nice.
I mean, an inside the park home run off the local kid, Joey Wentz there. He's a Shawnee Mission East Lancer. Text line keeps texting.
A lot of local kids, it feels like, in the league right now.
Mizorowski with the Brewers.
Fairly local. Maybe I'm just hearing more lately. I don't know.
Do you think Vinny could have got the triple if the ball doesn't go over the fence when
Vinny
I don't know.
So you're saying like the one.
On that first one?
It was a ground rule double, and so I was thinking maybe he could have got there with the limp of Acuna.
If it caroms the right way, we're not inside the park.
Right, no, triple. I'm talking about his triple for last night.
Yeah, triple, I mean, Bobby, sure. He's got two career triples, doesn't he?
I mean, he definitely wouldn't have been slowed.
He doesn't have any career triples.
He wouldn't have been slowed down by who was on the bases, that's for sure. Bobby was in front of him, so it's not like he would have been held up at second because the runner in front of him didn't have speed.
Vinny had two triples last year and one this year. So, you know, he has triples in his career, JT. So, sure, if the ball gets, you know, off the fence a certain way, yeah, he might have been standing on third.
913-586-7965. We are in studio today. People are asking about JT filling in. Drew called us today. We said, what are you calling us for? He was trying to help with something work-related, being a great producer, even though he's on vacation. His photos look awesome. But, JT, you're filling in, and people want us just to continue to find out what things you do and do not know when it comes to music and after yesterday's show.
After we learned that he did not know who the Eagles were, the band.
Yeah.
Not the...
Someone says, did you hear the morning show impression of You Gold? I think it's appropriate you only do an impression of them. I have not heard it. I would have to hear it first. Is it saved in the system?
We don't fire back until fired upon.
Yeah, we need an impression of me. Oh, I need context. Like, was it from a conversation last night at the Royals game? Was it something on the show? I don't know. What was the impression of? That changes my feeling about it.
Just a little heads up, out from practice due to inclement weather. Chiefs fans have been asked to leave training camp on Wednesday. For some reason, you were still up that way.
Well, it's funny because I saw Sam McDowell's tweet from the Star. And just like without any context, this tweet is a funny one. The fans been told to leave Chiefs getaway practice. The team remains on the field. Like, why are they told? Like, just people were panicking in the replies and everything. Yeah, it's because of the weather.
That's like. Did you guys see? I think it was last week in Baltimore. They said all the fans need to leave and get under concourse, and they played the game still, so it looked like 2020 in COVID year.
It makes no sense most of the time.
Well, good thing we're not up there, Cody, because we would have been dealing with severe weather.
You know what?
Good call. Good call.
Royals Day game coming to the rescue. I'm just letting people know.
The impression was in reference to our action figures. A lot of people have commented. You got your figurine at a different time than mine, and so your figurine is bigger. Mm-hmm. So yeah,
those are the things we put up on the camera when we're up at camp.
So I was talking about if Eric Fisher tried taking your beer, Alex. Huh? I've never interacted with Eric Fisher in my life. I have no idea.
Nice guy.
Yeah, by all accounts, I no issue with Eric Fisher. I need details on why Eric Fisher was brought up in relation to me. I don't know. Interesting.
We'll listen back to it and make a determination on if Alex should be offended.
Yeah, there is none in the system like a quick little mockery of you, so I can't find anything.
Okay.
We will keep an eye out for it as the Royals offense continues to try to play well. I will say we've been up at Chiefs camp quite a bit. We understand we do Camp Island. We're talking about the Camp Darlings. Tyquan Thornton got a toe tap video on the social media page. Rashard Smith continues to have some nice big plays, but not making the social media page, which is certainly not helping. I saw Jared Wiley made the social media yesterday.
No, he didn't.
Wait, Jared Wiley's already been eliminated, and I'd like to get back on the island.
That's all this is for you.
He was on the Chiefs video social media yesterday.
No, he wasn't. What was he doing? What happened in that video?
He was running a route.
Uh-huh.
And a ball was thrown towards him. And then that ball was intercepted by a member of the defense.
Oh, well. Yeah.
Is that the opposite? Is that a thing that would actually hurt me instead?
Yes. Yes.
Oh, okay. Got it.
It might ensure he doesn't get back on the island.
But as we've continued to be there, talk to people who are covering the camp, one thing has stood out to me about the coverage. We have heard borderline crickets about the Chiefs pass rush so far. I got nothing on Aminihu. Nothing on Felix and Udike Uzama. Nothing on Chris Jones, Karlaftis. By this time, normally, the only guy I think we've heard anything regular about so far is Omar Norman Lott. And usually when it comes to silence like this, you can take it one of two ways. It's kind of pick your poison. It is either a bad sign that these players are not winning their matchups very often, not getting pressure in these practices often enough to necessitate being like, wow, they are making things hard today for the offense. They're doing it. Or you can just take it as a no news is good news situation as it relates to the defensive line. But for a unit that I'm pretty worried about, as in other than the offensive line, I would say it's the second biggest position you should be watching going into the year, seeing how they were 20th in sacks last year. I think I'd like a little more buzz out of the defensive line in the sack game. Is that crazy?
I think the buzz at camp for linemen, and this is why it stood out for Norman Lott, typically you don't hear that until they're in a game and you don't see it until they pop. And so, look, in relation to just Felix, we've talked about him at a great length already, and Nate Taylor even acknowledged it. Like, Felix seems like just a guy out there at this point in time. So I'm not judging the defensive line feel, look at camp based on what Felix is or isn't doing, because I don't think that is going to be the determining factor, neither do you, of what this D-line is going to be.
No,
as far as like Charles
Aminihu,
Charles Aminihu, you know, is somebody that I think is in store for a big season because he's finally at a camp. He's not dealing with suspension. He's not dealing with injury or anything like that. During a preseason game, I just want to see more like Omar Norman Lott against an opponent. I want to see Aston Gelati against an opponent.
You want to see if somebody can get to the quarterback.
As far as Karlaftis, I don't need to see anything from him. I think we kind of know what you're getting. Chris Jones, we know what we're getting. You know, it's more about
Gelati, Aminihu,
and Felix still.
Felix.
You know, Mike Dana, I would like to see, like, last year was not his best season,
no. But
he's been a very nice player for them. What is that look like? It's some of this is just the setting of training camp and the position that they play. Wide receivers, it's very easy to flash at training camp. You get Mahomes throws, you get a deep ball, and everyone, oh my gosh, look how amazing he looks. A defensive lineman, you know, Omar Norman Lott has stood out as much as you possibly can, I think, given three padded practices and not a single preseason game.
You have to agree, though, that other than tackle, which all of a sudden we're feeling much better about, because Simmons looks like he's already won the job and that story is told. Defensive line had to be one of the bigger questions going into camp because this is a team that had finished top five 2 years in a row. Then last year fell all the way back to 20th. And I think that happens to be a circumstance in which their defense struggled more than we're accustomed to seeing, especially in the secondary, especially in the big play game. And I'm not saying they were a bad defense last year. That's not it. It's just based on where they were offensively, they needed their defense to do it, and there were a few more cracks last year, I think largely because they couldn't get any pressure. And that hurt them in the Super Bowl, too. It is easy to point out the fact that the Chiefs had no offense in the Super Bowl because they couldn't protect Patrick Mahomes. I'd like to point out that they got dominated on both damn sides of the line. They got absolutely fried on offensive line versus their defensive line, too. And they got no pressure. Chris Jones didn't get anywhere near anybody. George Karlaftis didn't get near anybody. It was bad on both sides of the trenches. And so, if you're going to make that leap again, you do have to have somebody step forward. And look, to this point, Gelati's a rookie. You and I are very careful with rookies and what their expectations are. So it is, and the Dana or Felix or Aminihu, in my opinion, because he hasn't played nearly as much as those other guys. Sure, I don't need to pay attention to Chris Jones and Karlaftis as much. I've got a stable number of where they're at. But Chris Jones is coming off a down year, too. At least statistically, he's still a great player.
No, the sacks were down. Yeah. I think anybody that watched last season knows there.
Chris Jones was still a monster.
And some of the metrics show that he was a problem for everybody that faced him. But yeah, I think given what he's getting paid, it's fair. Like, defensive linemen are usually judged upon sacks, but I think he made life easier for George Karlaftis. And I'm still expecting Charles Menihue to be the guy that maybe middle of the season we're talking about, like, wow, okay, everybody's focused on Jones and Karlaftis, but look at Charles Menihue. He's already got five sacks or something like that halfway through the season. Like, I think that is actually in play, even though you're right. Like, if there's a player on the defensive line that's gotten zero mention or just kind of out there, it's a Menihue, but he's a veteran. Like, how many veterans in anybody's training camp? Go anywhere in the NFL. How many veterans, other than the quarterback position, really stand out and become much of a conversation during camp? Usually it's for a negative reason if that happens. I mean, it's
the big star guys, you mostly let those go. But I will say, they're going to, like, their pass rush had George Karlaftis and Chris Jones last year, and it wasn't any good. So, like, the ancillary players, the ones we're discussing, those are the ones that are going to have a much better year. That's also why in the second and third rounds, they went defensive line and defensive line.
Sure.
The unit, and still have Dana let one of their better pass rushers of last year, Turk Wharton, go on an already difficult to evaluate defensive line. And so, yeah, it's a unit that I want to watch in camp, but maybe you're right. Wait till I get to a first preseason game. See where we're at from there.
Tomorrow we have a preseason game too. You know, we'll talk about tomorrow.
We got a Hall of Fame game.
Hall of Fame game means Trey Lance is going to be starting for the Dallas Cowboys tomorrow night.
A trade deadline might be heating up. The New York Yankees have made a pair of trades this morning. According to multiple reports, they've traded for outfielder Austin Slater from the Chicago White Sox and have also traded for right-hander Adrian Hauser from the Chicago White Sox. So, traded for a pair of players from White Sox. White Sox.
All right. Hauser would have been somebody, if you were looking to, you know, potentially get some help on the pitching front, like, it's not going to cost you much. You know, we were talking about veteran options and things like that. How old is Hauser? I think he would have been something to keep an eye on, but I don't think... for the Yankees' sake, I'm guessing their fan base won't view them as much moved to begin with. But yeah, Hauser's 32 years old.
It's no different than trading for like a Adam Frazier type, if you want to be honest. Mm-hmm. Not for Slater. Slater is a 32-year-old outfielder hitting .236 with a .299 on base. He's got a little bit of power, and he's only played in 51 games, I guess, this year. So maybe he's just coming back a little bit. But like overall, it's not like he's been some monster to go with it.
Yeah, we're a little over 24 hours away from the trade deadline. We'll probably start to the big names haven't fallen yet. Eumenio Suarez, obviously kind of the biggest name I would say that's out there. Even
How's having a great year.
Alcantara, whatever, for the Marlins, he's pitched better as of late, so he's a name. You assume the Marlins will move him. They're not going to get as much as they would have thought because he's had a rough year, even though he's pitching better. So there's a couple guys that are out there. As far as the Royals guy, I'm only expecting maybe there's a veteran pitcher to fill out the fifth spot in the rotation that they get into to help them. That's kind of all I think we're going to see at this point in time.
That's it? You're not anticipating the big move?
I'm just looking at like the roster on the, like, where are you really doing much?
That makes sense in the bullpen. You're one of the few teams I would say who doesn't need, essentially your acquisition's Hunter Harvey coming back and is available to you. So, like, I just think
they need a starting pitcher.
A fifth starter.
Yeah, a starter. A guy who, Michael Lorenzen type. Another one.
In a weird way, them saying goodbye to folk hero Rich Hill yesterday, a.k.a. Dick Mountain.
The Dick Mountain era
is over. Does
that
mean that they are going for a starter if they're already willing to let him go? I don't see enough starters just hanging around, ready to make starts for this team. Is that or Dallas Keuchel's getting ready to start in 4 days?
Yeah, and I thought there was a chance that was going to happen today, honestly. It's a bullpen game, but I thought maybe today was the day where Dallas Keuchel would have had an opportunity. Now, they owe him, I think, $2 million if they call him up. I don't remember if there's a certain date that they have to call him up by until he can move on somewhere else, you know, an opt-out date or whatever it is, clause that's in the contract. I'm not sure if that exists. But, yeah, it's either calling up Dallas Keuchel or pulling off a trade in the next 24 hours or so, where you give up some random prospect, nobody of note, nobody's going to freak
Cervale
out.
Aaron Civale or some
whoever.
Other
that's the name that everybody keeps mentioning. But just somebody that is capable of filling out the rotation and providing you some innings the rest of the way. Rich Hill, the Dick Mountain era ending is sad. You know, it's really sad. I thought we were going to be able to talk about Rich Hill for a little while, but we had a fun 2 week run.
Quick correction, by the way, Robert Murray, who was reporting the Adrian Hauser trade, said that's not Adrian Hauser now, is not being traded.
What?
It was just Austin Slater. Apparently they didn't even get the good reliever.
Okay.
I don't know why he reported it. Maybe just got the names mixed up, but it's fine. Either way, Robert Murray, that's why I said it.
He's it's a different reliever. It's Gage Zeal. It's a different one.
Okay.
All right.
That sounds like a made-up
Gage Zeal is who the White Sox are getting back from the Yankees.
I will say.
That makes more sense, Cody.
I definitely thought that we were going to get a talk about Rich Hill longer. And I can't get over the fact that he is only 9 years younger than J.J. Piccolo, but, 20 years younger than, Jack Caglione. 22 years, 23 years younger than Jack Caglione or whatever the actual number is, because I don't know Jack's exact age, 22, I guess. It's just funny to me that that's the difference. I did think we'd get a little more time with Rich Hill, but I'll always appreciate the time we did have.
It's a hell of a two-week stretch for Rich Hill in the rotation, or a week and a half.
Well, in the couple weeks we got in the minors, you know?
He got his chance to continue to play Major League Baseball.
When you went to go watch the AAA team, I thought you were going to get to see Rich Hill. You missed him by a day, didn't you?
Yeah, Dusty and I were in Omaha to watch Cags, and Rich Hill had just arrived in Omaha, and I think he pitched the day before, the day after, something like that. And he got his opportunity. His first outing was fine. This last one, he obviously had issues with walks and looked like he was laboring out there. So they move on.
That's what he looked like come... Two nights ago, he was laboring with all those walks.
Yeah, he looks tough.
It looks like he's pitched a lot, man. He's got big eye bags. He just looks like he's like a man who is tired.
He's 45 years old.
Tired from pitching.
He's 45.
Still loves it. Still out there grinding. One more team and he'll
set
the Major League
record. Do you think he's going to sign with one more team just for the rest of the year to say he's got the most
I think
teams?
He showed enough to make a spot start for a team that trades away his starters and needs just like one dude to make
one
start.
Yeah, maybe for the Colorado Rockies or Pittsburgh Pirates or somebody that just, you know, somebody like that.
Yeah. Yeah, or the White Sox if they trade all their guys away.
Yeah, because the White Sox...
Do you think they got enough footage to film the rookie two with the 2 weeks? Do you think Dennis Quaid is going to start? Is he be part of that as well or no?
What's the training montage look like for Rich Hill? Could he just play himself?
He should. Can he act a little bit?
I don't know.
You and I are still upset. We did not get called for Ted Lasso. I know they're in town filming right now.
I've seen him everywhere.
Yep, we did not get the callback.
Baseball Museum, Casey Kurt, they were UMKC. They've been everywhere.
Yeah, did not get our opportunity.
So I'm still over in the movie search. At least you still got you'll always have the Hallmark movie gold. You'll always have the Hallmark movie.
Did you see the text line? They said it was elder abuse to have him out there in the heat.
That's what I felt like when Acuna put that ball 468 feet.
Yeah. All right, guys. Up next, let's talk about who is now showing up to training camp. What does it actually mean for the AFC? And we've been waiting a couple days to do it. We finally have time to talk about somebody's role in a movie next. Back here on Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, JT Noah producing the show. We knew there was a chance this was going to happen today. We're excited because we got a cool event coming to Kansas City. Also, it's not every day you get a chance to talk to a Pro Football Hall of Famer. We've got Terrell Owens calling into the show. He's going to be in Kansas City on August 8th at PickleCon for the Celebrity Pickleball Bash from 3 to 5 there at the KC Convention Center. Tickets available at celebritypickleballbash.com. T.O., great to have you on the show, man. We appreciate it. It's probably been a little while since you came to KC.
Yep. And it's Terrell, not Terrell. It's Terrell, guys.
My apologies. Absolutely. Terrell Owens joining us here. Yeah, we're excited to have you on the show, man. Pickleball, how did you get involved with that?
Oh, man, number one, I'm excited to be on you guys' show. And, started back late last year. Marcellus Wiley, who played for the San Diego Chargers, we both live out in L.A., and he holds a lot of events at his house, and he does some charitable and some philanthropic things surrounding some of the things that he does. And so pickleball is one of those. And so he has a lot of his former football, players and celebrity friends on kind of like speed dial. And so everybody has to kind of like, you know, fill out this thing to come out and play pickleball. And he kept sending me these messages, text messages for like about 3 or 4 months asking me to come out and play pickleball. And then I just had to tell Marcellus, I'm like, Marcellus, I'm like, I've never played pickleball. I'm like, you know, I'm not interested at this time. And then I'm like, and I said, plus I said, I don't even know what I'm doing. I said, I don't even have any pickleball equipment. I said, I don't have no racket, no paddle. I didn't even know what they were playing with. And so I had heard about it about probably like 10, 15 years ago. Matthew Hatchett, who's also a good friend of mine who played in the league, he had mentioned it to me. And long story short, he kept asking me to play. And he's like, man, just come out and just check it out and see if you like it. And so I'm like, all right, cool. So I went by, just like I said, late last year, went by Target, bought a couple of paddles. And I saw like all these different, brands of paddles like Selkirk, Yola, Franklin, Head. I'm like, I didn't know what I was getting. So I just got a couple of like the medium, kind of like middle of the range price paddles, about $90. And that's what I took over there and played a few hours. And everybody was like, well, how long have you been playing? I'm like, bro, this is like my first day. I'm like, I've never played. This is my first time. And I played about 3 or 4 hours there. Literally was like one of the last ones to leave. And everybody kept asking me, you know, how long I played, because he had like a wave of people coming in like every couple of hours to play. And so I stayed the entire time. And again, just trying to get adjusted to it, watching people play. And people kept asking me, how long have you been playing? I'm like, this is my first day. And they're like, no way. They're like, there's no way this is your first day. And one of the girls that's going to possibly be part of the weekend is Jenna Bandy. She's very talented female. Like, she does a lot of the male sports, probably better than some of the males. And so I know her as a good friend. And so we were leaving the property, and so her and one of her guy friends, and she was like, okay, you can tell us the truth. You've been playing for a while. Like, this is not your first day. And I'm like, I'm telling you, Jenna, this is my first day. And so they were, honestly, I guess they were impressed at kind of like my skills. But again, I was nowhere as good as I am now. So obviously there was some room for improvement for my skill set. So needless to say that I've gotten a lot better since last year. I don't even think I've had like 180 days of actually playing, but I'm close to that. To the point to where, like I said, I've taken lessons from pro guys here in Houston, a few pro guys and people that have obviously mastered the game of pickleball in LA. And so, yeah, so this will be our second big major event with a Celebrity Pickleball Bash, who I partnered with out of San Francisco, Ben Shapiro, and some other guys. And so, yeah, so I'm looking forward to coming to KC. Definitely, I think this will be a better showing than in February that we had at the All-Star weekend. My partner was Jesse Irvine, and I feel really bad because I feel like I let her down. I was very excited about where my skill set was at that particular time, knowing that she's a pro, being paired with a celebrity that literally had little to no skill at all. But yeah, I think I'll be ready, better prepared for this Celebrity Pickleball Bash and Pickleball and PickleCon come next week.
Do you let Andy Reid know you're going to be in town? That way you guys can get lunch or dinner or something?
I'm pretty sure by this time with all the radio, I'm pretty sure he already knows I'll be in town, but I'm pretty sure he has other fish to fry being in camp right now.
Do you remember what it was like to be in a camp with Andy? It feels like once football starts, getting him off of that focus is probably a challenge, right?
Yeah, pretty much. I remember my first camp. I think everybody remembers. my second camp with the Eagles. I got sent home. We had a little bit of a disagreement, and that's where the infamous sit-ups in the driveway came about. But yeah, Andy and I, we've kept in touch over the years since Philly. I thought I would have been close to probably 5 or 6 years back. I thought I had an opportunity to come back and play for Andy, but that never happened. I talked to the GM there, and I talked to him a couple of times, hoping that I would have gotten a little short stint to help him win a championship, but obviously they didn't need me. when you got Patty Mahomes, and then at that time they had Tyreek Hill and some other guys. But yeah, I mean, Andy's by far, like, everybody has asked me, like, who's your favorite coach? Who's my favorite team? It's kind of up in the air. I would definitely have to probably say, just with the success that I had, it probably had to be between probably like Philly and Dallas, just how I was utilized with my skill set, and it has nothing to do with any fan base or anything like that. It was just basically kind of like how I was utilized, from a receiver standpoint. And I think, those two teams utilized me, most, and I got the most out of my time there, even though it was a short stint in Philly. But everybody saw what I did with, obviously just a year and 7 games going into that second season and reaching the Super Bowl. the first year. So, again, by far, like I said, Andy Reid, just being an offensive mind. And he, again, he knows how to put the right people, whether it's coaches and players, in the right places and positions to succeed. With all that success that he has, I said, I need to pick his brain and see if he knows how to help me with my pickleball game. other than that, like I said, I know I'm being redundant, but yeah, by far, like I said, I wish I could have had one more run with Andy, but, you know, just understanding and seeing my production, you know, with him and his staff. Again, like I said, him being an offensive-minded guy, and as you saw what he did with Tyreek Hill, you know, I don't think Tyreek Hill would be Tyreek Hill if he didn't play under Andy Reid, to be quite honest.
T.O., somebody here in Kansas City now that gets talked a lot about, of course, is it getting close to the end for Travis Kelce? But he comes into camp this year. He looks quicker again. He looks like maybe he lost some weight. Maybe he's in great shape. Could be the last year for him. What have you seen, I guess, last year and the last couple of years? Do you believe he still has a lot of football left?
He probably does. I think if he's looking slim and quick, I think maybe him and Luka Doncic, maybe they've been on that pickleball
program. Yeah, how about that? How about Luka? My goodness. Maybe,
right, exactly. Maybe they've been on that pickleball circuit. But, you know, obviously, like I said, Andy's going to take care of his guys. And if anybody knows how to get the best out of the guy, especially winding down, approaching like the last few years, Andy's going to do that. And, you know, obviously, like I said, you know, Travis, like I said, with the experience that he has, been in so many training camps, obviously, like I said, health is obviously a big key into your success. And so if he stays healthy, and like I said, if he's looking quicker, and I think as you get older and you get, you know, more years under your belt, you don't work harder, you work smarter. And so I think that may be the approach that Travis has taken. I know his trainer, Lawrence, there in LA. I've trained with him over the years. So I'm sure they've kind of dialed in and put a program together to where, like I said, to maximize the most, if this is his last year, going into his last years of a play. So I would have loved to have played with a guy like Travis. You know, playing in Philly, we had a guy named by the name of Chad Lewis, and then we had LJ Smith, who were kind of similar, very athletic, you know, being able to, you know, get through the middle, very smart players. So Travis is obviously going to go down as one of the greats at the tight end position.
When you look, the way you're talking, it's funny because the way you're talking about like him training and the pickleball court and all that other stuff, I'm just now starting to realize that you've got to be the guy somewhere on the court where they're like, hey, man, take it easy. We're just trying to have a little bit of fun every once in a while. Are you the overly competitive guy on the court too?
Yeah, I've had to kind of like, you know, it's pickleball, again, it's a community of people that play, and there's different levels and tiers and of level of play as well. So I've kind of had to dial it down a bit because, like I said, because of my approach to the game and mentally, like I'm really approaching it to become a professional pickleball player, not just to just go out and just play for leisure. So that's been my goal, you know, since I started and really got inundated, just like just really in and just engulfed with the sport itself. So again, it's you got to kind of like, you know, depending on who you're playing with, you can't be too competitive. But again, like I said, if you're playing with the right people, they understand it. They love it. They embrace it. But yeah, I have realized like, yeah, just starting out to learn it probably like about 3-4 months ago, I had to kind of dial it down a little bit. Cause like I said, even I wasn't even where I was now, but just me trying to learn the game and really trying to embrace it and really become really good at it. Cause it's like, it's a really skillful game. It's a hand-eye coordinated game. It's a lot of feel. It's like a lot of touch, a lot of fundamentals to how you hit dinks, whether it's cross dinks, just to kind of the resets and things of that nature. So yeah, it's funny you asked that, but yeah, I'm very competitive. Like now, like I said, August 31st will be my first real APP tournament in Chicago. I'll be playing a mixed doubles with a friend of mine that I've been training with. Her name is Brittany Carr out in LA. And so with what we've been doing over the last few months or so, and just me practicing and training and drilling with her, I just like just one day I'm like, okay, well yeah, let's do a tournament, because everybody's been asking me, because I've been on every pickleball court, every state that I've been in, and every place that I go, I find some pickleball court to either go play just to help my game or what have you. So, and everybody's been asking me, have you played any tournaments? Are you going to play in this tournament? Are you going to play in that tournament? And I'm like, no. I said, honestly, I don't want to play because, you know, there's an expectation with me being who I am, being a Hall of Famer. So they expect that when I go to the court. And if I'm not able to give them that, I didn't feel like I was ready to do that. So now I'm at the point to where, okay, I'm ready for my first, ready for my first real tournament. And, you know, everybody heard me say, get your popcorn ready. Now is get your pickleball ready.
Tio, we really appreciate the time. Thanks so much for coming on. We're looking forward to seeing you in Kansas City here in a few weeks.
Absolutely. I'll be ready. Like I said, I'll be ready for my pro partner and everybody that's in Kansas City, come out and check it out. Like I said, this is going to be hopefully at some point T.O. the pro pickleball player and not pro football player. Well, I'm not a football player anymore. I've already accomplished that, but now, John, this is my next feat that I'm trying to accomplish. So, like I said, get your pickleball ready. T.O.'s coming to a pickleball court near you.
Love it. Appreciate it. There you go. Great to have him on the show here. Of course, coming up on August the 8th at PickleCon, Celebrity Pickleball Bash. That's at the KC Convention Center. Tickets available at celebritypicklebash.com. That's celebritypicklebash.com.
You and I were in a pickleball match last year.
We were.
At PickleCon. We took on Dana and Parks.
We did.
Over from KMBZ. And a win, I'd like to add. Yeah. We did get the dub. I did see, like, in addition to that, like, you know, like you can see the celebrities that are going to be playing, you know, like, hey, here's the people that are going to be playing in the game. Maybe some of the faces of PickleCon you might want to know. Did you see two people who are on there besides the, former MLB player Brad Penny or some pickleball pros and T.O. on that same list? Drew Nixon.
Yeah, and Mac.
And Mac Morey.
They're representing the station this year on coming up on, I think they're playing on the 9th or whatever.
Yeah, I believe they're playing on the 9th, but they'll be out.
Text line having some good fun. I will say this. I said his name that way all morning long. Nobody corrected me.
No, I didn't.
And be honest for a second. If you would have intro the interview, you would have
probably would have said it.
Look,
here's the truth.
You would have said Terrell, you would have said Terrell as well, not Terrell.
I would have said.
Apologies.
I think I would have
said T.O.
I said T.O. I said, is this T.O.?
So then after he corrected you, I'm like, how have I been saying it this whole time?
I know, and I apologize. He should want his name said correctly, so I totally get why he corrected. But I was like, son of a gun, because I
almost... The look on your face, like, damn it!
Yeah!
Just like immediately, like, I could have looked this up!
Yeah.
And like, some of it is just like... We thought there was like a 50-50 chance.
T.O.
was coming on the show.
We appreciate him calling
in.
We appreciate you calling in. And it's going to be cool to have him in Kansas City.
Did he call him back in?
But also, it's kind of interesting, too. The text line.
I bet he's good at pickleball, man.
Oh, yeah.
Height, athleticism.
For sure.
Like, I bet he's going to be good. But glad to have him on. You're right. Unfortunately. You know, after that.
PickleCon is, we actually did have a ton of fun out there. But text line, people, a lot of them wondering about, the Andy Reid aspect, too, in his time. He spoke very highly about Andy Reid. And there were reports way back.
He wanted to come back. He talked to Veach.
And he said he talked to the GM at the time.
That was scary. I was like, oh, did we mess up? But he was like, we got disconnected. I was like, oh, no, we're good. We're good if you're good. And he goes, oh, awesome, man. Thanks for the... I was like, awesome. Okay.
Whew. Oh, he didn't know we wrapped it up. Okay.
Oh. I thought...
He called back in.
That's fine.
Look,
T.O.? Appreciate the time.
Yeah, luckily I said T.O. He goes, hey, this is T.O. I go, awesome, T.O. Hey, I'll put you on hold. I didn't say
honestly, it'd have been way better if you had said it wrong and you could help Gold out.
Well, I know, yeah.
Someone says, I like the fact that he corrected you and then you just moved into talking about pickleball. Well, that's all you can do at that point in time.
Yeah, what are you supposed to be like?
Dude, the deepest apologies.
Yeah. Someone says it reminded him of the whole Marquez Valdez.
I'm sorry. We played that clip. Wait. Hey, can you isolate it? Can we just hear what Alex said right after? He just said, I'm sorry.
I said, I'm sorry, but you're going to be in Kansas City. I tried to move on very quickly.
Smart. If you could get that for us, JT, I just want to hear the isolated part of when he says Terrell versus Terrell, and just so we can see like Gold's transition. I thought it was a smooth transition. Honestly.
I tried, and deep down inside, I was like,
you were dead a little?
Son of a. Not on
so
him.
You want Terrell doing his thing?
I want him introducing it and then T.O.'s reaction and then Alex's very quick after. So, like, maybe like a 15-second, or just like, it didn't even have to be Alex introducing him. Him just saying, it's Terrell, not, you know, like, and then Alex's reaction. That's all I need.
Yep. And it's Terrell, not Terrell. It's Terrell, guys.
My apologies. Absolutely. Terrell always joined us here. Yeah, we're excited to have you on the show, man.
My apologies. Absolutely. Also, he said, guys, leave me out of it. But I might have gotten it wrong.
Again, this is one of
I don't want to be a team on this. Oh, no, I didn't correct you all.
I will.
And I would. I might have said it wrong too this morning.
I have to own that one, but I will admit, if Cody was introing the interview, you would have pronounced the name the same way. All morning, we were saying the name out loud. Not a single person in the building corrected me.
Someone says, I had secondhand embarrassment for
He is one of those players, I swear, like in his play, because obviously, I mean, this guy is third all-time still in receiving yards and touchdowns in NFL history. I mean, incredible.
It's hard to put in perspective just how good of a player he was.
Incredible. I swear, when he was playing, I think a lot of people probably just called him I messed it up again, but yeah.
Yeah, I feel like that's how it sounds in
Someone
my head.
Someone says, Cody, it's pronounced Eberflus. There's a few names that'll get you, you know?
Eberflus,
yeah. You're on the air for 20 hours a week. There's a few names that'll get you, but that's fine.
I wasn't even pronouncing Luke Maley's name right like a week ago.
Wow. I mean, one guy's a Hall of Famer. We should have done
Terrell.
Better. We should have done better.
In fairness, I really did. Yeah. I just kind of thought maybe he wasn't coming on today. And so I was like, I'll do the research. You know, we wrote questions, but, you know, outside of that.
Oh, goodness.
Man, that's so funny.
Someone said, how are you guys having T.O.
Someone
without...
Someone says, we expect that out of Cody, not you.
Yeah. Gold. Look, deep inside when it happened, it hurt. Like, I got stabbed inside when it happened.
I saw your face turn white. You're like, oh,
it's a bad feeling. Because we've all screwed something up where... Because, like, honest to God, to this moment, even though it's not an important... Like, it wasn't important players. When I was very early in this industry, I was covering my very first ever spring training. And I wish I can't remember the name of the player now. This is what's worse. A guy who I thought looked like Ray Sanchez was sitting at Ray Sanchez's locker. Oh. And I went up to him. So he's like, I'm
Did
not.
Did you start doing the interview?
Yes.
Oh.
And he's like, I'm not Ray Sanchez. I'm like, this is the worst moment of my life. This is the worst moment of my life. Why were you sitting by his locker? You could just be sitting at yours. Are you guys doing this to mess with me? And it's a bad feeling. But whatever. It was good to talk to T.O. Glad to hear that he was close to signing with the Chiefs. Kind of excited to watch to see how good he is at pickleball, honestly.
I'll tell you that. He's definitely taking it seriously. I mean, my goodness, he's locked in. He's out for blood. So there you go.
Somebody's talking about all the other names that could have been wrong over the years, like Mario Chalmers.
Yeah, people on the East Coast say Mario. That's just like an East Coast thing. It's Mario, but people on the East Coast, well, even like yesterday we were talking about Mario and Peach. If we were on the East Coast doing radio, people would have been saying Mario.
That's not their
people
name.
Would have said Mario Kart. It's Mario Kart, but people on the East Coast say
Mario Kart.
It's an East Coast thing.
Get out of here.
I know.
That's not his name.
It's an East Coast thing.
His name is Mario.
Mario? I trust me, on the East Coast, people say it like that. I don't know why. Okay. Tournament, instead of tournament, the tournament.
But at least that I can like... Pronunciations for like that versus someone's name. You pronounce your name. That's a
the name's pronounced however you want your name to be pronounced. Like it can be spelled however
you
want.
Maybe we haven't had a problem because our names are the easiest to pronounce of all time.
It's very
Nobody's messing
simple.
Up Cody Tapp.
Well, just
or
Cody
Alex
and Alex.
Gold.
Very simple.
Yeah.
JT. Easy enough.
What's JT stand for?
Jonathan Thomas.
Okay.
So my parents gave
me
two first names.
He was only one
names.
T away from being JTT. He's so close. Jonathan Taylor Thomas. What's your middle name?
Alan. When I get when the fiance gets mad, she calls me J-Tan. She's like, shush, J-Tan. I'm like, really?
Did you go by JT your whole life?
Yeah, I've gone by JT my whole life.
Okay. Now people just...
Now you're familiar with Justin Timberlake, right? After yesterday. Okay, just making sure, JT. Just making sure.
Come on, have you not seen the mockery
if you listen? If you listen to the show yesterday, you know exactly what we're talking about. All right, up next, let's get to the 11 o'clock hour. We were going to talk a little bit about something that is officially now sold out. Plus, we're reporting who is back at training camp for the first time for a certain team. We'll get to that next. Hour here on Cody and Gold. Reminder, we're heading things off to Vern at noon, his On Deck show, as the Royals continue their series against the Atlanta Braves. Before we get back into some baseball before we hand things off to Vern, NFL news, no more official holdouts happening. That's because Trey Hendrickson has reported to Bengals camp ending his holdout. Now, The report last night from Ian Rapoport still said that they are not any closer to a new deal. You show up to camp, Cody, because you stopped the $50,000 per day.
Yeah, he's up to like a half a million in fines, right?
Yeah, and so you move on from that, and you can do the hold-in. Just like Terry McLaurin finally showed up in D.C. Over the weekend, he's not getting fined. He's also not practicing. He's technically on the pup list with an ankle. So somewhat similar with Trey Hendrickson. We're basically going to probably be seeing a guy that's just going to hold in at this point in time.
Look, I'll be honest. SpotTrack claimed that that's why they cut Zach Moss today, was they might have to do like the way they did it with Chris Jones. Ooh, here's a little restructure of the contract where technically you could earn the $500,000 back. Not if we're getting a long-term deal done, but if you want my ass to show up to work, how about a sign of good faith that
he's
doesn't have me
clothes,
paying?
Though. I mean,
yeah, I know. Like, look, here's the part that's really funny to me. People are making it sound like this is a huge deal that Trey Hendrickson returned. And yeah, they need him to return to practice on what was the league's worst defense last year. He didn't save them last year. He led the league in sacks last year. And I remember at some point in the show, I don't have the list in front of me now, I went through the list of quarterbacks they went up against last year. There is no, we're getting a cornerback from the injured reserve that's solving this problem. Cincinnati, once again, will have one of the worst defense in the league. And now their best player has missed most of camp. He can get up to speed in 4 weeks. That's fine. But you still have a disgruntled player playing on a contract year. So you might get the best of Trey Hendrickson this year, even if he doesn't get a long-term contract done. But you're still a bad defense. And the hold-in, I think, is the new wave. You're going to get these guys who come in here like Terry McCorn and be like, my ankle hurts. And how are you going to prove one way or the other? That's not the case. It's football. They're always hurt. It's whether or not you play through injury or illness or those things, Gold, because you're a tough player. Not that you don't actually have those things. So if I'm Trey Hendrickson, my back hurts the rest of the year until you get a deal done with me. But he had to show up if he was going to become a free agent. That's the truth. Sitting out the whole year doesn't actually serve you.
No, and the way the CBA works, there is no sitting out. No, there's no pulling a Le'Veon Bell, which that was also still a disaster for him. But
that's a huge mistake by him.
None of that exists anymore. It just can't. That's why these guys show up. The only thing that doesn't make any sense to me when I saw it from McLaurin, I saw it from Hendrickson, if you know that you can't afford to sit out all of camp because it's $50,000 a day fine and all that, and you know they can't give you the fine back other than maybe doing some contract stuff, then like at that point, I'm like, I don't even want to lose $200,000. Like, so what? Why not just hold in from day one? Just hold in from day one at camp. Then you don't lose any money and you still get the same thing. Hendrickson lost money. Now he's holding in and he still isn't any closer to a deal. You're like, well, to prove a point, do this. Why wouldn't he just hold it on day one? I would just hold it on day one of camp. Because they're not finding me. I'll just do the same thing. Yeah, but on day one, why even cost myself any money?
No, I would. I kind of agree with you. What's the point? Like, just be like, hold in from the beginning. I think it's easier. It's harder. You know, it is like when you're in the building, it's easier to talk you into some work. You know, you're here. It's a hold in, but you're like, come on, man, you're here. And you're like, you're trying to make a point of, no, I'm serious about getting this paycheck. So pay me my money. I show up to nothing voluntary, but I might, you know, because most of these teams, even though Gold, they don't have to forgive the fines. They found a way to make Chris Jones have a chance at getting whole, right? Like if you have a somewhat decent relationship or want any chance of signing this player, you know, you're going to find some way to have a chance to get that money back. Because here's the truth. If you just tell Trey Hendrickson, Gold, screw you. You don't have a new deal with us yet because I know we're not close to the deal. And yeah, go ahead and cough up the $500,000. Go, what does that do for the relationship next year when you're having the negotiations? They're never going to sign with you. If you don't even at least give them a chance to get that money back like they did with Chris Jones, who was not under contract at that time, and they just said, hey, you get 15 sacks and you win the Super Bowl, we'll give you all your money back, it's fine, then that would be the case. It's just the hold-in becomes a challenge, I think, if you don't make it clear to the team you're serious about the money you want to get paid. And honestly, Washington's problem got worse because the money that got signed in a new contract extension for Courtland Sutton, Terry McLaurin's been a better player, has been a better player the entire time, would be on pace for way more money than that.
Yeah, I think the Hendrickson deal still gets done, though. I just think it has to.
Feels like a lot of times they do.
If you're Cincinnati and you're in a year where you have Joe Burrow, you brought back T. Higgins and signed Jamar Chase, obviously, and they're not going anywhere. You have an organization that hasn't made the playoffs in a couple of years. The only way you get to where you think you can get to is with Trey Hendrickson involved. And as you pointed out, even with him, it's no guarantee because the defense had him last year and it was still trash. Now you're hoping your defensive coordinator fixes things and all that, but your number one pick, your top draft pick is late to the party in Shamar Stewart. Trey Hendrickson hasn't been there. He's a hell of a player, but he alone wasn't enough for the defense to not be the worst in football. So it'll be interesting to see how it plays out. I still think he'll end up being there by the time week one happens. He'll be in a uniform. He'll be ready to roll for, I think they play Cleveland week one or whatever. I want to point out real quick, just some news out of Chiefs camp. Andy Reid did mention that Xavier Worthy, who left yesterday's practice, is in the NFL concussion protocol. Yesterday we saw, while we were up at camp, Xavier Worthy
went on
diving catch, then went straight to the medical tent, was standing around talking to trainers, I don't know, 5 minutes, 4 minutes, went back on the field, was practicing, and then, yeah, today he was not practicing, and he is in the NFL concussion protocol.
When you, that's, you know what?
It's plenty of time. Like, I mean, it's never good to have a concussion, but for obvious reasons that we all know now with CTE and everything, but down the road. But July 30th, yeah, in terms of like availability, if that's what you're asking, yeah, nobody's worried about that.
Yeah, no, I'm not going to be panicked over that on this time of year. Maybe it means there's a chance he doesn't play in the first preseason game. Oh, no.
Yeah, and I think that, to my knowledge, that's his first one as an NFL player, first concussion.
Yeah, he hasn't had right. any. He hasn't been on the
protocol. I don't know in college if he had any or not. But
I don't know. Yeah, I guess that's when you start getting worried is, you know, when it starts turning into a situation where you're getting it more often. But generally speaking, and he's in the protocol doesn't mean that he's necessarily can't come out of it somewhat quick. But he did bang his head. I will say, does it look bad on the Chiefs that he banged his head? The Chiefs admitted he banged his head. He was over there getting looked in the concussion protocol. But here's the thing about concussions.
We've gone through this before.
Is that sometimes the symptoms don't show up until the next day, 2 days after. It's like they didn't do anything wrong in the reporting or the sense of it. But sometimes in a training camp, it's like, if that's the case, should you just wait?
No, but if the players, I mean, the player checks out on the sideline, then you're not holding him out. I mean, it's...
Yeah.
It's also... It's their training staff at a practice. It's not a game where you have like the independent neurologist and doing that whole shebang, right? That happens in an NFL game. So it's not something I'd be too concerned about. But yes, the fact that he, you know, went back to practice, I understand why some people would be like, oh, that's interesting. But
a lot of it just goes back to the problems that still exist in football, that is a contact sport in which people are going to get hurt and people are going to have concussions, kind of even if you are wearing, I think he was in the Guardian cap like anybody else.
Yes, he was.
And so it's not that those things still can't happen, but it's just like, part of me is just like in a training camp, if you smack his head against the ground and you're worried about it, should you just let him have the day off? But then at the same time, how many times has a player smacked their head against the ground in a practice and would you be able to get through a practice if that's the case? So I'm not going to try to pretend to understand the ins and outs. If he checked out with the trainer yesterday, it does not seem that weird. Glad they continued to get him further evaluated, or maybe a different symptom showed up before there. Get that thing so taken care of before the season starts, so you don't have to worry about it. If this were a player that I was worried about missing more camp, like a rookie who had never played a game, Gold, I might be having a different concern over their ability to be an effective player in the early part of the season. Xavier Worthy played 20 games for this team last year. So I'm not concerned about his ability to get caught up to speed if he has to miss even a week or 2 weeks of practice, even though I don't know that it'll take that amount of time. That's your little update from camp. Continuing briefly the conversation about Trey Hendrickson, I was just laughing about they think their defensive coordinator shut it all down. It is a lot of the Bob Sutton conundrum in the way defenses work, in the sense that Bob Sutton had three top five defenses in the time he was here in Kansas City. Lou Anarumo had two top 10 defenses in the time he was with Cincinnati. So are you sure? Like, a lot of times it's easy to blame the coordinator, but a lot of times, are you sure it's just that they have less talent to work with? Like, was Bob Sutton's issue that he had less talent to work with? Was that some of what the problem was? He had three top five defenses in a time here in Kansas City. It's not like he was the league's worst defensive coordinator for a stretch. Was Lou's problem there in Cincinnati related to talent? I feel like some part of it must have been. That's all. Just a small side note is people like, well, they got a new defensive coordinator. All the problems will be solved now. Speaking of injury and how to handle injury, since we just mentioned Xavier Worthy, the Royals are currently playing the Atlanta Braves, as we know. Ronald Acuna hit an absolute tank of a home run off of Rich Hill in the first game of this series. Looked like he was limping a little bit in game one of the series. Limping and a little bit in game two of the series, only to eventually be pulled and today placed on the injured list, where he's going to spend at least 10 days recovering from what they're calling tightness right in his, what is it? His, what was the, Achilles?
Achilles, yep.
Area. What the hell are the Braves doing with him? He is a superstar coming off a major injury. I, a player who has watched zero Braves games this year, noticed 2 days ago, and I thought, like, maybe it's just a Lorenzo Cain limp, you know? Where it always looked like he was running gingerly in right field and then he'd be fine and would never hit the list. But my thought on Monday was like, boy, that guy looks like a guy who's feeling it a little bit. And I thought, yeah, maybe I'm just exaggerating, not really hustling down the line, looks uncomfortable and right. But I thought, again, maybe it's the way the Royals had Lorenzo Cain. Only for him to pop in the injury list? What the hell are they doing with this guy? They're trying to get their star player hurt? Are their fans asking those questions?
Well, yeah, their fans are upset with their manager because it sounded like he knew something was wrong the day before and they still put him in the lineup. And that's one of those where the player wants to play, but you also have to prevent the player from being in the lineup the next day if that's actually what happened in Atlanta. Like, it's been you think this year's been frustrating in Kansas City where the team has playoff expectations and all that.
Oh, way worse.
At Atlanta, it's been a disaster. Now, Ronald Acuña already was hurt earlier in the season, already missed a good chunk of the season. And then they've also had a player that's, you know, was suspended in Profar for PEDs. They've had some other injuries as well. They're behind. I think they're still behind the Marlins. Or I don't know if they still are. They were at one point. Maybe not Marlins? Anymore. They were at one point in the
I'll
NL
look it up.
East.
Talk.
You know, they were at one point and not. But the Braves have been the most disappointing team. Yeah, they are still behind the Marlins. Disappointing team in baseball. More than the Orioles. More than the Royals.
Where do the Royals rank in disappointment for baseball this year?
They would be right after the Braves, I would say. Maybe after the Orioles. Maybe the third most disappointing
definitely,
team in baseball.
They're definitely above the Braves and the Orioles. The Orioles are in sell mode. They're getting rid of Cedric Mullins and Ryan O'Hearn, according to reports, right? They got to be down there. I'm trying to think about. What about, like, the other teams in the division, though? Guardians and Twins were playoff teams last year. Or Twins were the favorite to win the division this year from the betting market standpoint. Shouldn't they be at least on par with the level of disappointment?
Were the
Royals?
Twins the favorite?
I thought
preseason,
they were.
I thought it was maybe because they're pitching. Okay, maybe yeah. That was what it was. Yeah, I mean, those
it
teams
wasn't
have had,
far off. The odds teams, are actually pretty tight between.
I think
teams.
The reason why they don't get mentioned the same way because as of right this second, the Twins are closer to a playoff spot, or the Guardians are closer to a playoff spot.
So maybe, half but maybe that's what the Royals. I mean, they're
well,
not like
right. This is an ongoing. Sure. This is an ongoing conversation, though. It changes all every single week. But yeah, at one point in time, those teams were much better positioned than the Royals were. Maybe when the dust settles, the Royals will be that. But at one point in time, the Twins and the Guardians were pacing to be in the postseason before the Royals were. Not anymore. The Royals are ahead of the Twins in the American League Central standings, and obviously that means the wild card standings as well. But like a month ago, the Royals were behind both those teams, and so they were clearly more disappointing.
What were you going to say, JT?
I was going to say, I think I look over at San Francisco, the Giants. They are on a free fall. They trade for Devers. They try to make this big
right.
move.
They did trade for Devers.
And then they've lost 11 of their last 13 games. And now we're sitting four games back and now double digits back of the NL West. That's I know fair. You're not going to win the division with the Dodgers there, but you had playoff hopes. That's why you trade for Devers. And now you're looking on the outside. Are you going to sell or what are you going to do now with Devers?
Oh, weirdly, you could make an argument for the Yankees for that same argument. Like, is they are a team that is going to be in the playoffs, the Yankees, but they are far below what people anticipated with them. Like, they are below where they were expected to be. And right now, they're going to lose their division by, like, 8-9 games if
well, that says also a lot about
the
Blue
between
Jays.
Them and the
Blue Jays have been playing well. But, I mean, the Yankees have no defense. I mean, I think they lead the whole MLB in errors. It's insane.
Yeah, that's why they traded for what's-his-name from the Rockies. Even though he's not a good offensive player, they just needed help at third base. And then now, they're already struggling now. Judge is on the IL with that elbow problem. He's going to have to DH when he comes back as well. They're kind of a mess there. Looks like the Blue Jays are going to win that division.
Fairly handily, it appears. I'm just asking. The Royals are disappointing, but I think a bigger conversation we can certainly get into maybe tomorrow when we don't have the day game is just I'm still not concerned about the position of the franchise, even if I can admit this is a disappointing year, at least for them, because there's no doubt about it.
We'll get to Trash today in a few minutes. I just saw CBS Sports put out their game NFL lineup, game announcer lineup, for 2025. So we know like Nance Romo, right? Tracy Wolfson, that's
sure.
The A crew. The Chiefs will see them plenty this upcoming season. The couple of changes. How about so Ian Eagle with JJ Watt and Evan Washburn? That's actually, I don't know if that's officially their number two crew, but that's actually JJ Watt now being in the booth even more, doing some more stuff this year is going to be good. Harlan and then Trent Green, right? That's the group we're
the
used
KC
to seeing.
The KC crew.
Yeah. And then you have like Andrew Catalan, Charles Davis, Jason McCourty, AJ Ross is one, Spiro Dias, Adam Archuleta, Aditi. Kumbawala, I believe it is. Tom McCarthy, Ross Tucker, our guy will rotate throughout this season. Ever occasionally Ross Tucker gets called on some of those CBS games.
I gotta say, this is gonna sound like the most privileged fan thing ever. I don't know any of the lower crews anymore because I can't tell you,
you've watched.
No, but I'm saying no. I just meant like I'm not saying I've never heard of them. What I'm saying is, I can't think of the last game I've watched with Didis. You know, like
Spiro Didis
and Art Chiletto. We don't get those games anymore.
Oh no! But if you watch Red Zone, if you watch Red Zone, you hear them all the time.
Sometimes I have to watch those things on mute. Red Zone is an assault. We're back to this.
You don't like Red Zone, and I don't get it.
No, I like Red Zone, but like there's times in which it is like it's too much sound all at once. And so I'm not trying to pick out individual broadcasters necessarily versus they're going back and forth to Hanson. I'm not like, oh, there's Art Chiletta. It's just like there's random broadcaster saying here's a touchdown. I don't think I focus in on that portion of the broadcast crew the same as when you do as you're watching like an individual game. I still don't understand. You guys don't get any sensory overload?
Red Zone, I love it. I cannot wait to sit on a Sunday at noon.
It's so much and sound have, sometimes.
It's what do you mean? They only play the play-by-play of one game.
No.
Yes.
Well.
Yes. Yes.
But he talks over it.
Sometimes, but they turn the volume down. And then, like, as they switch to the different feed, for like 2 seconds, there might still be some noise from the game prior. You're acting like Kevin Harlan and Jim Nantz are both talking at the same time.
But it is people talking at the same time.
No.
It is like there's an active live broadcast of a game
faintly,
going on.
Faintly.
While four other things are happening while Scott Hansen's talking. That's a lot happening at once.
Well, we can see who the oldest is.
I'm surprised at this. Like Red Zone's one of the greatest things ever created in television.
I watch it. I didn't say I don't watch it, but there are times in which it's like, it's a lot at the moment.
Huh.
You know,
someone says, Cody, you have kids. Red Zone shouldn't be that much going on at once.
Sometimes there are a lot, too. I had to play Donkey. I had to try to beat a Donkey Kong boss at 7 a.m. today.
Yeah, I just think
I did not succeed.
I want to watch Red Zone Channel with you for 1 week this season, and I want to see exactly the moment where you said that's like where you're like, this is driving me crazy
because I'm convinced. Okay.
I know what you're saying that
we can do that.
They will sometimes turn the volume slightly down on, let's say, Kevin Harlan. Scott Hansen will briefly explain we're about to go back out to Cleveland where they're kicking the game winning field goal. In the meantime, let's go back out to San Diego. Let's go out to LA, whatever, and then like there's still background ambient noise from the other game. Okay, yeah, that happens occasionally, but it's not like Hansen, Harlan, and Jim Nantz are all talking at once. That doesn't happen.
Oh, you know that we'll do. We'll watch one Red Zone together, and I'll tell you the times to be like this doesn't get you.
Yeah,
this right here.
If you are if you want to have a good feel of the league on a given Sunday, if you have bets, if you play fantasy football, best spot. And that's why when the Chiefs are in the prime game at 3:25 or Sunday Night Football, I love it because it means at noon, let's say it's 8 games going on 7. I don't miss any. I feel like I got everything covered. I love it.
Even more so now that they're not, they don't play those many games. I love a noon Chiefs game.
No.
Noon on a Sunday. Love it.
For the opposite reason.
Love it.
If I'm going to a game, I love a noon game. Like if you're someone that tailgates, I think you probably love a noon game. If you're just saying the sports fan, not specific to the Chiefs, noon kickoffs take away my Red Zone. It ruins
exactly.
it. Because then Red Zone at 325 Red Zone, I only have 3 games. It'll have Seattle and Arizona, and it'll have the Jets and the, you know, Patriots as the other one, and then it'll have the Cowboys and the
Raiders.
And Raiders against each other in some crappy games.
No, you're worried about NFL Red Zone, Cody? Just wait till you go Saturday to this Disney play you're going to or whatever. You're going to have a lot of fun.
That's true. You don't think that's going to be overload?
We'll see. I don't know. Never been to a Descendants and Zombies concert before.
All right, let's get to it.
Trash of the day.
All right, trash of the day. One real quick one, and then we'll spend some more time on the other. The real quick one over in the WNBA. Did you see what happened last night? WNBA.
I did.
On the court yesterday, some objects, or a object, I should say, was thrown. Do you know what the object was, Cody?
I think it's pretty easy if you see the photo.
Yeah, and no one's picked the object up yet. You guys, oh my gosh, okay. Okay. inappropriate. Get him out of here, whoever it is.
That announcer was not happy. Thinking of multiple noises playing at once, that was a bit much there.
See, there you go. The trash. Well,
we had our bumper music on top of the sound. A dildo was thrown on the court last night at a WNBA game.
First time I feel like I've seen that since that Bills game.
That's right. It did happen at a Buffalo Bills game.
The questions I always have are related to getting that in the stadium.
What do you mean?
What leads up to the process of deciding to bring it in? Mm-hmm. Then you have to presumably sneak it in,
mm-hmm.
which is like, is this worth the effort? Even if it's just like in your purse or in your backpack or your clear plastic bag.
Well, if it's in a clear bag and it's just chilling in there, that's wild to bring to the
game. You got some brave things.
Brave enough to throw it out on the court. You don't think they're going to get you on camera? You know, the cameras are in those things.
Security guard running out there picking it up.
Just think about what happened at Yankee Stadium over the weekend, okay? I mean, what's worse?
True. There was a couple.
Did you see that?
At the Phillies Yankees game having sex in the stands.
Uh-huh. I mean, it wasn't like.
Well.
Performing a sexual act.
A type of sex.
I just like, I don't even know if we can properly describe that on the air.
No, you do not describe it. Do not describe it.
Don't do that. I can't. Honest to God, my favorite reaction to that entire thing was one Yankees fan who said, is this how bad the Yankees are playing now? That two Philadelphia fans can get a whole row to themselves and feel confident enough that there aren't enough people around them to act in this way during the game. This is how bad it's gotten for us. And his whole stance is like, I think we need something at the trade deadline. This is crazy. We got to get people back in the stands. Yeah. What are we doing here? This can't be allowed.
Yeah.
I think we're about to get to the other trash of the day more tomorrow. But.
Yeah, that's the trash of the day. We had another one involving mothers in America. We'll save that for tomorrow.
Mothers in America is such a
I'll just say new mothers in America is how the story starts. Mothers in America. Up next, it's a Chiefs Red half hour before we hand things off to Josh Vernier, our Royals insider, and it relates to the Chiefs, but it has to do with a little movie that Travis Kelce was in.
Welcome in to the Chiefs Red half hour. Every day at 11:30 with Cody and Gold on your new home for Chiefs football, 96.5, The Fan.
Chiefs Red half hour brought to you by All Weather Decks. The right deck at the right price. Give them a call, 913-206-1974.
We'll hand things off to Vern in about 25 minutes or so. His On Deck show as the Royals take on the Braves out at Kauffman Stadium. It is a bullpen day, so Angel Serpa, I don't know what they're expecting to get out of him, an inning, maybe two innings. Out of him, he did pitch yesterday, so I mean it could be one inning. I don't know. We'll see.
They already announced who's pitching right after him, right? And the guy they just called up, Hatch.
He was part of the move with the corresponding move with
Rich Hill,
Dick Mountain.
Mm-hmm. Tough man. I was sad to see Rich Hill go. I'm not gonna lie. Mm-hmm.
We were talking about announcers real quick. Just some news came across. We're talking about announcers. CBS announced their lineup for broadcasters in the NFL season and everything. The Chiefs are going to open up, we know, on Friday in Brazil on YouTube against the Chargers. And we now know at least who the color analyst for the TV broadcast on YouTube is going to be. Kurt Warner just signed a deal with YouTube. So much like when they've done the international NFL Network games at times. So we don't know who the play-by-play guy is. It could be somebody from NFL Network. It could be anybody. But Kurt Warner will be on the TV call on the color analyst side of things for Chiefs Chargers.
I like Kurt Warner. I still think he's a really good broadcaster overall.
We've had him on the show. No issues with his name, you know?
No, Kurt.
Just Kurt Warner.
Kurt. Yeah, Warner. No mystery there.
Yeah.
Do you think you'll ever, for the rest of your life, forget that it's Terrell?
Will you?
No.
I won't.
No.
I won't.
Not after that.
No.
And by the way, to rub salt in the wound, Rob Britton could have saved us.
Yeah.
He could have helped out. He said, I knew it was Terrell.
Because
he had interviewed on their show a different time that had him on. And before the interview, JT, he had said, hey, just as a reminder, it's Terrell, not Terrell, because they were recording the interview. Did he say that to you, JT? Did you leave Gold hanging?
No, he never said anything. I said, is this
That's on us. It's not his fault. It's definitely on us. It's definitely on us. There's no question about that.
I was trying
to
blame JT.
No, it's not JT's fault.
Oh, my gosh.
Blame JT.
Just try to blame JT.
You're a former intern on the show. It feels right. Feels right to blame the intern.
Part-timer.
You know?
No, have to own that one. Thinking of roles and certain things and celebrities and cameos. I mean, T.O. back in the day might have had a cameo in Happy Gilmore too, if this was like 10 years ago, T.O., because they had 70 different people had a cameo in Happy Gilmore. Now that we have a chance, we haven't had a chance to talk about it because we got busy yesterday. Have all three of us seen it finally?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I have seen it.
Your guys' thoughts, because going into it, I think we all know like what kind of movie you're going to see. I thought it was great. I enjoyed it. It was good memories from the original. My favorite cameo was Will Zalatoris. I thought I was not expecting that. And
they
that
joked
was,
about him coming into the league. Did he kind of look like that kid?
So
that
was good. A really good one. That was so good. I thought it was great. Obviously, Travis Kelce's part, the two scenes that he was in, one as the waiter and the other one where he's tied up against the tree or whatever. And they
did you get that reference?
Did I get the reference? No, I got
that.
I just,
okay. Right. Okay. So that, and then I can give you my thoughts. I get that reference. I am 100% convinced. Like, I haven't read that, I guess, but I'm 100% convinced he is referencing the movie Heavyweights. Him okay. and Jason Kelce have both proclaimed a strong love for that movie in childhood.
Great movie.
And that almost near identical scene, because when my wife and I are watching it, takes place in Heavyweights with the jerk camp counselor who's in great shape to cover him in honey and then threaten that the Bears are going to come get him. So I feel like that's a reference to Heavyweights, but beyond that, yeah. Travis Kelce's. Sorry, I think that that's what that was from, but yes. When I look, I think it's important to say what you said, which is go into the movie knowing what kind of movie you're getting. Oh, that's pretty good. Like, I'm not like blown away when like, yes.
Well, I'm not going to watch it again anytime soon.
Yeah, I'm not running to watch it a second time. It feels cameo heavy. Like, it just feels like a watch how many of the 70 different people we can include in the movie get in it. But like, for what it was supposed to be, it was fun. It was light enough. I thought some of the, like, I thought Haley Joel Osment did a good job with his character.
People are convinced on the text line that Dusty looks like Haley Joel Osment.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
No, I don't.
Text line is convinced.
I have to think. I need to see a side-by-side.
I mean, not the Sixth Sense version, Babyface. They're talking about now.
Okay, I need
I'm picturing current Haley Joel Osment. I actually think there's some similarity, absolutely.
Okay, I'll look while we're talking about it. But yeah, I didn't think it was like
if Dusty's hair was a little longer.
Amazing plot point. But they give you some of the throwback stuff. They give you some of the entertainment stuff. They heavy with cameos. So many cameos, I got to be honest, that I think you almost need to Easter egg it. I don't think that some of the people were in the movie that you realized. Today, I told Speck before the show, I thought the Reggie Bush cameo was pretty good. And he said, when in the movie is Reggie Bush in it? I said, he was one of the three golfers for Team Maxi. He was the guy with like the pink sunglasses. He's like, that's not Reggie Bush. I'm like, that was Reggie Bush. And we had to go up there and I had to pull up a screenshot of the movie and I showed it to him. He's like, oh my God, it's Reggie Bush. It was Reggie Bush in the movie.
Yeah,
so much to the point that I don't think a lot of people would catch it.
No, and I think you go in, like, nobody's expecting it to be an Oscar-worthy film. It's on Netflix. No. It is a perfect Netflix movie that, for those...
If you just want some, like, you're, silly entertainment.
Frankly, if you're our age, and you know, I think you enjoyed it. It brought back some good memories. There was some of the exact same jokes. There was some of the exact... John Daly was in it way more than I ever thought he was going to be in the movie. I mean, he was
John
in it throughout
Daly was the second
thing.
Biggest actor in the movie, essentially.
Yeah, he was in it throughout. I enjoyed it. I thought it was really good.
To me, if you had the thought, oh, this is going to be an Emmy-winning movie, that's on you. An Oscar-winning movie, yeah, that's on you. Because if you thought that was the problem, because I thought going into it, it was going to be funny, it's going to be uplifting. And I enjoyed it. I was like, man, all those people in there. My favorite cameo was Bad Bunny. I thought the way server turned into caddy was great, and his cousin getting hit by the golf balls on the driving range was great. So
Bad Bunny's really solid in it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's a decent actor. Like, he's pretty. His role was. And I know he's done like SNL and stuff before. Like, his role was pretty good. Like, honestly, overall, I like that they bring back Ben Stiller.
The Jack Nicklaus line. Which Kelce was actually very good, where he's like, oh, so Arnold Palmer. He's like, no, Jack Nicklaus.
You know, don't get it confused. And then Ed Kelce's somewhere in the background of all the other like Hall of Fame golfers as the pretend. Look, some of this feels like he just wants to put his family in a movie. Anymore, he's about making movies where he can like put in his friends and his family. And I think that
Adam Sandler's
about Adam
done
Sandler
that
movies,
for a long time.
Yeah. But it's just like, it's easy and light. And you can watch it. And Gold, if you went to the restroom and you missed 5 minutes, you didn't miss any part of the movie. Like, it was fine. Like, I'm not here to try to claim, like, wow, we've really done it. Like, if you were giving it an out of 10 rating, it's like a 6.5. I don't know, 7.
Yeah.
It's a perfectly acceptable movie.
Yeah, Scotty Scheffler, someone points out as well, they enjoyed his brief moment or two there. Yeah,
making fun of him.
I still think out of all the pro golfers, like Will Zalatoris was, that was a legit laugh out loud moment. I wasn't expecting that. That was probably my favorite, like one of my favorite scenes in the entire movie.
The fact that they just, and honestly, he does bear kind of resemblance to that character.
Yeah, Schefter in jail, or Scheffler in jail, someone said, made the whole movie.
Yeah, the Scheffler one is like, I already know the drill. All right, you know the drill. Put him behind.
Someone says, why does everyone act like the first one was a cinema masterpiece? I don't, are you saying like for the people being critical of this one? Maybe, yeah.
At the time, it felt unique. This one's not unique because they play at some of the same lines. Like Kevin Nealon shows up and he's the broadcaster again, or, you know, like he gets in a fight again. This time it's with Shooter, right? Like, and they're fighting near the like, so they pay a lot of homage. Sure, doesn't feel as unique. Happy Gilmore at the time felt like a truly unique movie. I think that's for the things that people get where you're like, you know, like I saw today, they're going to make a Gremlins 3. You do kind of get tired of the, like, you don't have any new ideas. I can't get something fresh. I can't get something like...
Yeah, we don't need a Happy Gilmore 3, okay?
Yeah, but yeah, like Happy Gilmore 2, like Happy Gilmore, I think that's the difference, was a truly unique concept at the time it was made. There was no movie like it. It wasn't parodying anything different. It was its own thing. Versus, you know, like Versus Vern was talking about, like, there's a new Naked Gun movie. That's not a new concept. It's just a new movie. One of the weirdest things to come out of that is that apparently Pamela Anderson and Liam Neeson are a thing. They're like a couple and have like fallen in love on the
really?
Set. Yes. I am not making that up. Truly one of the like
I'm looking at an article here.
Things it's coming clear out they are of smitten. That movie.
It says it's clear they are smitten. Pamela Anderson and Liam Neeson are dating.
Just not a headline I was expecting to see.
58-year-old Pam Anderson.
How old's Liam Neeson?
Older, don't you think?
Older than 58, yeah, I think so.
That's
I was thinking he was like in his 60s.
73.
73? 73 to 58, huh? Okay. That's, I mean, you know, 73 versus 58, I don't think there's a real difference there.
Yeah, this is the Naked Gun co-stars' romance continued off-screen. A source tells People they're enjoying each other's company.
Is this news to you? Am I breaking this
news to you? Yeah, I didn't know. I'm reading the article. I didn't know.
We're going to be following this love story?
No, I will not.
Between Liam Neeson and...
This is all I need right here.
Someone said, may that love find me, you know? No, I really did. I think it was okay. I thought Travis did a pretty good job. I'm interested to see how Travis's acting career goes. I think the next interview, when we talk to someone up at camp on Friday, we should ask who they think would be the second best actor on the team. Because Travis is getting some regular work. Juju Smith-Schuster might have been a real competition for that had we had a chance to ask him yesterday. The interview was obviously a little bit shorter, but we'd at least have a chance. Let's talk before we hand things off to Vern in about 15 minutes. I do want to say we were talking about the Royals to start the show, and I still think it's of note. As we continue to watch them, they got kind of a day game lineup out there. Tolbert and Frazier and Isbell all hitting together back to back to back. The offense is scoring enough runs right now that I can't decide whether to be hopeful or frustrated. Because if they had anywhere close to this level of offense, in the last 23 games for David Lesky, they're scoring 4.9 runs per game. That would be fourth best in Major League Baseball if you'd done that over the course of a season. So they're hitting. Had they hit even 15th best this year, what would they be? 8 games over 500? 9 games over 500? Or should I be hopeful that if they can continue this level of offense, this is going to be a playoff team? And I'm trying to decide between the two. Frustrated that it took them this long to find their offense, or hopeful that now that they found it, just as long as the starting pitching doesn't fall completely apart because of injury, and it's definitely a possibility because of injury, that this still could be a playoff team if they can continue to pitch. The bullpen's still very good. Hunter Harvey maybe makes them even deeper. Yeah.
The question is going to be that suddenly the starting rotation, and I know you're like, well, look, you still feel good. Noah Cameron continues to pitch great. Seth Lugo, you know what you're getting from him. Michael Wacha's as steady as they come. You're like, oh, that's three pitchers right there. I think it gets tricky is when does Lorenzen come back? Are we waiting till September, end of August, I should say, for Cole Reagans? Are they going to go trade for a veteran pitcher or not? Otherwise, you're talking about bullpen games like today or Dallas Keuchel, and how long is that sustainable to stay in it? But yeah, if the offense has turned the corner and found something post All-Star break, it's going to once again allow them to continue to stay in this realm of
to
being
not get
in
knocked
it.
Out, yeah. To have a chance.
To where we're sitting here in September and they're still technically in it. Yeah, I
it's
think
almost
that's,
August 1st and they're yeah. still playing meaningful baseball. Yeah, they're not out.
And I think they will be in September as well. Do I think that they're going to be occupying a playoff spot by September 1? Probably not. Could they be within three still? Yeah, I think that's kind of where I'm at.
Which means could make the playoff
territory. If you're within three games of a playoff spot on September 1, the way the season has gone, I think you would probably sign up for that, wouldn't you?
I would. Considering where the season has gone, I absolutely would sign up for September 2nd, 1st, 3rd, whatever, that they are still in playing meaningful baseball. Most years, for a small market team who I'd like to make the playoffs at a good rate, at least, honestly, like we talk, I've done this for college football, so maybe it's worth doing for baseball. For a team the size of the market of the Royals, if you're well run, what should the expectation be of number of times you make the playoffs in a decade? And my answer would be
3 to 4.
I think more like the 5 to 7 range. If you were just make the playoffs, not like compete
not win
for
a playoff
World
series
not
in.
Win a playoff series, be in the playoffs.
Yeah, I don't know.
I think
you
should
say
be 50 to 70%. And look,
yeah, I don't know if you can say 50-50. I don't know if I don't think that's realistic.
I'd have to look up how often, like...
I think what you're saying is what you want to have. I don't know if that's the bar.
I think 50% should be the bar. I don't think that's crazy. Make the playoffs half the time, that's not nuts.
Yeah, I don't know if that's realistic in today's day and age of baseball. That's what I
want. I don't
want
to look at the Rays because they're the best example. Who do we think is the next Guardians, Twins? These are the type of teams that make the playoffs a lot, right?
Sure.
That are in a small market?
Yeah, I mean, I think the hope from a fan base is, yeah, you're making it 70% of the time. I think realistically, across a 10-year period, making the playoffs, I think it's in like probably 4 times during that stretch. That's not what I want, but I think that's probably the realistic bar.
10 is tough because that would include the 3-year run in which the Guardians are the best team in baseball. So, but just over the last 7 years, they've made it 3 times out of the last 7 years. That includes this year. So if the Guardians were to make it this time, they'd make it about 50%. That doesn't seem like a crazy bar for a mid-market team who is well-run. The Guardians have been a well-run franchise. Actually, through the last 10 years, they've actually made it 6 times in the last 10 years. I don't think the Guardians are making the playoffs this time, so, you know, 60%. I don't think 50% is a crazy number, so, like, if they are a competitive baseball team this year and then make it next year, I would say you're doing what you're supposed to do as a small-market baseball team inside of that window. So, like, when I look at where they are right now, it's like, if you're telling me beginning of September they're playing meaningful baseball, I'm still disappointed, and I still think they should have been a better team this year. But also, meaningful baseball in September, sadly, for 30 years of my life, I'm not getting a lot of that. A handful of times.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe to the number you point out and someone mentions, now with playoff expansion, maybe it needs to be higher anyway, because now that half the league's getting in or whatever. That's probably fair, versus how if we were having this conversation in 2010 or something, you know, when there wasn't expanded playoffs to this extent, maybe that is fair. Maybe it needs to be higher because of the
increased
field. That's probably fair.
Yeah, when you're talking about, it's not half, but it's close enough to half at this point. You can't be better than half the league half the time. We're not asking the world here. It's not a crazy part, but that's the thing. If their offense is going to hit like this, I kind of think they're going to make the playoffs. But it requires the offense to not just do this from the last 23 games, but to do it for the next 30.
The only issue
and do it the next 50. And that's just a huge ask. I'm not going to predict that.
It's that, but also during this stretch, they've been playing better offensively. A lot of it's been against National League teams, not American League teams. And the unfortunate reality is they still sit 4 back. They've gained a half a game or a game, I think it is, since the All-Star break.
They were 4.5 back at the All-Star break?
5 or 5.5.
I think it was 5 or 5.5.
Okay. Yeah,
and they're now 4 games back of the playoff spot as of this morning.
Yeah. Yeah, and someone points out too, 50% isn't crazy, but the, over a 3-year stretch, being the best, best team in baseball, those are kind of opposites as well. Like, there's the balance, the Tigers, for example, if we were to cite the Tigers for a 10-year run, okay, how many times have they made it? But right, this year, they're the best team in baseball, or one of the best teams in baseball. Yeah. So there's also that balance.
They also have I was about to say, they're about to start a 9-game road trip in which they have to take on the Blue Jays, the best team in the American League, the Red Sox, one of the two teams who have been occupying a playoff spot directly above them. Currently, they're a half game ahead of the third wild card team, but in that same range. And the Twins, a team who is essentially vying in the same range you are. So, they got another massive road trip if they want to maintain, consistent playoff baseball outside of it before they take on some crappier teams, at least towards the middle part of the month.
Well, it seems like maybe manager Q is preparing for another starting pitcher to be traded for because he just put out his pitching rotation for this coming weekend against Toronto, and he has Michael Wacha Friday to be announced on Saturday, which would be Noah Cameron's slot, and then Sunday would be Seth Lugo.
Hmm.
And he goes, Noah Cameron is completely available for Saturday, but we want to also keep ability to pivot based on matchups and see how we get through today and the deadline.
I also saw that they're not flying out until after the trade deadline tomorrow. They have an off day tomorrow. They're not taking off to Toronto until the trade deadline is complete. So, like, if they got to send somebody out of town, they don't want to take them to Toronto first.
Yeah.
And if they want to accept somebody, they'd like to, like, maybe kind of know where that player's coming from before they all fly out.
Yeah, I mean, I really, at this point, I would be fairly surprised if there is not a trade involving them acquiring a pitcher, wouldn't you?
Yes. I think they're going to get a pitcher. I think that's it.
I think they kind of have to. Based on where the rotation's at. Cole Reagans maybe is back at the end of August.
Yeah.
Michael Lorenzen is scheduled to be back available.
Hoping by the end of August.
Yeah.
Hope is a strong word when you're talking about this. I did mention that difficult stretch. I know we'll get to it. The Royals do have a good stretch right after that. So I guess play good against these good teams and then maybe we can talk. Nationals, White Sox, Rangers, who are a good team. Tigers are a good team. But then the White Sox again. They get their final, they get six games against the White Sox this month, Gold. Gotta say, love that. Love that for them.
That's gonna do it for us on a Wednesday edition.
Did 4 hours of the heat. Cody, 2 hours feels weird.
We're back tomorrow in studio again. Chiefs do not have practice, so we'll have a full 4 hour show in studio before we head back up to St. Joe on Friday. For now, though, we're handing things off to Vern, his on deck show as the Royals are taking on the Braves right here on 96.5 The Fan.
And there's a girl in this harbor town. She works laying whiskey.